بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 20th session reading from Fath Al-Qawi Al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, يعني the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam Al-Nawwi رحمه الله and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab رحمه الله with the commentary explanation of our Shaykh Al-A'lama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafizahullah. Tonight the hadith that we're going to be looking at is hadith number 16. But before we look at the hadith for tonight, we're going to go back and look at a few of the issues that we dealt with in the previous session from questionnaire study guide for lecture number 19. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 15. The main subject or topic of hadith number 15. Now.
So basically three points about it. Number one, the hadith was narrated by Abu Huraira.
Okay, before who narrated the hadith, just the summary of the topic. What is the theme or subject of this hadith?
So whoever believes in Allah and the last day, say khair or remain silent.
Okay, believing in Allah on the last day requires a person to have certain actions, certain manner, certain behavior, like speaking that which is good or remaining silent. Anybody else have a summary for this hadith? Now, Adil.
Honoring one's neighbor.
Huh? Honoring one's neighbor is one of the themes of this hadith. Now, Nasir, something?
And honoring one's guest.
Honoring one's guest. So, some of the scholars said that, summarized the meaning of this hadith as, that these advices or instructions that came in this hadith are from al-adab al-islamiyya al-wajiba, some of the obligatory Islamic manners or etiquettes. These are some of the obligatory Islamic manners or etiquettes that a Muslim must observe. Question number two, who is the rawi narrator of this hadith and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? Who is the rawi and who is the muhaddith in whose collection is found? Naam. The rawi?
The rawi is Abu
Hurairah. Abu Hurairah, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, radiyallahu anhu. And the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? Anybody? Remember who collected this hadith? Naam, Abdul Wali? Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim. Rahimahullah. Question number three. Why has the Prophet ﷺ combined mention of Iman in Allah and Iman in the last day in each statement of this hadith? Now, why has he combined the mention of Iman in Allah and Iman in the last day? Why did he mention these two together in each of the statements of this hadith? Abdul Wali.
Because having Iman in Allah is the foundation of Iman. And having Iman in the last day serves as a reminder of the return to Allah.
Now, and having Iman in Allah is the asas, the foundation of everything that we are required to have Iman in. Everything else that we are required to have Iman in, the foundation is Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every other aspect of Iman that is required upon us is derived from Iman in Allah. Believing His revelations, believing His prophets, believing the Day of Judgment, and all of this is derived from having Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as the mention of Iman in the last day, it is because this is a reminder. The mention of Iman in the Yawm al-Akhir is a reminder of al-Ma'ad, that we are going to return, that there is a day when people are going to return and be called to account, and al-Jazah, that there is going to be compensation. People are going to be compensated, rewarded or punished for their deeds in this world. And this reminder, is a tremendous motivation to motivate people to do good and cause people to refrain from doing evil, knowing that we will be called to account, people will be rewarded with good if they have done good, and they will be punished for the evil that they have done with evil punishment. Question number four, discuss briefly the meaning of this hadith, as explained by Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, as explained by Imam al-Shafi'i. And a lot of scholars explain the hadith. We want what the Shaykh mentioned concerning what Imam al-Shafi'i said is the meaning of this hadith. Anybody? تفضل.
You have to think before you speak.
Now, if a person wants to speak, then they must think first. Now.
And if there's no harm, then speak. But if there's doubt or harm, then remain silent.
Now, if a person thinks, considers what they're going to say, and it becomes clear that there's no harm that's going to come to them from saying it, then speak. And if it becomes clear that there's harm in it, or they are in doubt about what will be its consequence, then a person should refrain from speaking. And this is a tremendous explanation of a tremendous hadith. Brief few words in the hadith and few words in the explanation. Before speaking, think. If it becomes clear that it's going to be harmful to you, don't say it. And if you see that there's no harm in it, then you may speak. Question number 5. Mention the statement transmitted by Al-Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, concerning the paper of the recording angels. Yani Imam Nawawi narrated to us something that was reported by the people before concerning the paper on which the records are recorded by the recording angels. Now,
if you have to purchase the paper that the angels record on, that you would speak a little.
Now,
be mindful of what you said.
If people were required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purchase, to pay for the paper that the angels record on, then he said the people would have remained silent from much of their speech. People would have refrained from a lot of things that are said that are of no benefit at all, aslan. Question number 6. Mention the two aspects of ikram al-jar, honoring the neighbor, that have been summarized by the Shaykh, by the author. Two aspects of honoring the neighbor. He mentioned it from two angles. Now,
be good to them and don't cause them harm.
Be good to them and don't cause them harm. Those are the two angles. Yani al-wusul al-bir, that you treat them good, that you treat them kindly, and so on, and that you also make sure that they are safe from harm, from sharr that comes from you. And to do good to them and to refrain from causing any harm to them. Question number 7, discuss the three categories of jiran, neighbors, and the rights of each of them. Nasir. Three categories. The first one?
Muslim and near relative.
The Muslim, what?
And near relative.
Okay, a neighbor who is a Muslim and also a near relative. And the rights of that one? Anybody? Muhammad.
Ties of kinship, upholding the ties of kinship.
The rights that they have rights of kinship. Okay, that's one. And they have three rights.
Rights of a neighbor.
Rights of a neighbor.
And then rights of being a Muslim.
And rights of being a Muslim. Now, the rights of being a neighbor, rights of being a Muslim, rights of Islam, and the rights of, relationship, blood relation, ties of being a close relation. The second one, somebody else. Second type of neighbor, yeah, now.
The neighbor that is Muslim but not a relative.
The neighbor that is a Muslim but not a near relative, and they have two rights?
They have the right of a Muslim and the rights of a neighbor.
The rights of a Muslim and rights of a neighbor. And the last type, the last category of neighbors is the talib. The neighbor, who
is close to you.
Who? Forget about how close they are, but in terms of those characteristics, they are a neighbor who, they only have one right, the right of neighbors. Because what? Because they are not a Muslim, and they are not a near relative. A neighbor who is not a Muslim and not a near relative, they have one right, the right of neighbors. And these categories of neighbors are really important if a person thinks about it, because Islam has instructed us on how to deal with people. And the scholars have made it clear to us that from the people that we deal with are our neighbors. But the neighbors are not all the same. They are neighbors who are not Muslims. And they are not relatives. And they are neighbors who are, Muslims. But may not be relatives. And they are neighbors who are Muslims and they are also near relatives. And each of them have rights according to those characteristics. Question number 8. What is the difference between al-ja'iza and al-diyafa in reference to Iqram al-dayf, honoring the guest? What is the difference between al-ja'iza and al-diyafa? From the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
It's obligatory to take them for at least a day and a night.
Okay.
And
The ja'iza is that the person who is a guest, yani has a day and a night for you to take good care of them. And a dhiyafa is 3 days that yani are extra. And anything after that is sadaqah. Anything after that is sadaqah. So yani if a person takes somebody in as a guest, the day and the night, the first day and the night, they should honor them well, as best as one is able. And after that, they should take care of them, yani, for 3 days, if they can. And anything more than that, yani, is according to a person's ability. Yani, it's sadaqah. The last question mentioned 3 of the 5 fawaid, benefits which the author, Hafidhullah, has derived from this hadith. He mentioned 5 things, yani, the question is mentioned 3 of them. Let's see if we can, between all of us, we should be able to mention 5 of them. Yeah, 1.
Saying good is encouraging better than remaining silent.
Type. Yani, the encouragement to speak. If it is something that's good to say. If it's something that's good. And the second one, Talib?
No, the courage to remain silent.
The encouragement to remain silent. If it is something that is not good. So there's encouragement to speak and there's encouragement to be silent, depending on what it is that a person is about to say. And the third point the Shaykh mentions, Naam?
The reminder of the last day. The reminder
of the last day in the places where a person is being encouraged to do good or to refrain from evil. Because in that reminder, it contains the idea of al-hisab, the accounting for one's deeds. So it's good to remind a person, if you want to encourage somebody to do good, or you want to discourage them from doing evil, remind them of the last day, yani the day of accounting, where people's deeds, yani they will be called to account for them. And the fourth point, fourth benefit, yeah.
Encouraging to honor the neighbor.
The encouragement to honor the neighbor, yani to treat them well, and also to yani the warning against harming them. And the last point the Shaykh mentions? Now.
To honor the guests and treat them well.
To honor the guests and to, yani the encouragement, the urging to honor guests and to treat them well. These are some of the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, yani we're going to be looking at al-hadith al-sadis ashara, the 16th hadith. It's on page 64. Of the book, the Arabic text. We don't have an English translation. On page 64 of the explanation of the 50 hadith, yani is explained by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. This hadith, it begins with the text, the mention of the hadith. We're going to start with that. And then we're going to take a pause for a moment to look at an introduction to this hadith. The Shaykh goes right into the hadith. We're going to look at some introductory comments from Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan before we go into the Shaykh's explanation. The hadith is an Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu, anna rajulan qala lin-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awsini. Yani Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates that a man, without identifying who that man was, said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, advise me, awsini. Qala, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la taghdab, do not be angry. Faraddada miraran, yani the man continued to repeat his request for advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qala la taghdab, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, yani, to advise him with these small words, yani brief words, la taghdab, do not be angry. Rawahu al-Bukhari. The hadith is reported by al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. So, yani, before we look at the Shaykh's commentary, which he mentions 3 points on this in reference to this particular hadith. 2 points concerning the explanation of the third point, the benefits derived from the hadith. Before we look at that explanation, we want to just look at some introductory comments, which are really important for this particular hadith, yani from the explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says, Al-Ghadab wa Rida khaslatan sajiyatan. Yani that these two things, Al-Ghadab, anger, and Al-Rida, pleasure, being pleased, these are two qualities or natural character traits. Tubiya alayhima al-insan, that the human being is created upon. Yani the nature of the human being. It's part of the nature of the human being that they have these qualities or these character traits of being angry sometimes and being pleased at other times. The Shaykh says, and this is very important, tubiya alayhim al-insan lifa'idatin wa maslahatin. Yani the human being is created with these qualities for some benefit, for some good, yani something in their interest that will be good for them, that will be helpful to them. Yani anger in and of itself, Allah didn't create the human being with these qualities without there being some benefit in it. The Shaykh says, it is for a fa'idah, a maslaha. فَالَّذِي لَا يَغْضَبْ يَكُونُ نَاقِسًا. So whoever claims that he never became angry, or he doesn't become angry, or a person who never becomes angry about anything, he said this person is defective. This is not good, that a person never became angry. Not even for the sake of Allah, not even for the violation of the laws of Allah, there's something wrong with that. وَلَكَنْ لَبُدَّ. However, the Shaykh says, it is a necessity that this anger be used in its place, in its proper place, in its proper time. Then whoever goes beyond that which is proper, yani the proper use or the proper time of using of the yani expression of anger, then this is harmful. Whoever goes above and beyond, transgress the limits of the beneficial use of anger, then this is harmful. Then he says, Al-Ghadab Naqid Al-Rida. Yani anger is the opposite of pleasure. And it is a natural trait, a quality that the human being is created upon. And it produces in the human being the boiling of the blood in the heart of the human being and the swelling of the jugular veins. And this leads the person who became angry to have an intent or desire to take revenge or to harm the one yani that they became angry with. Person became angry, it may cause them to say things, it may cause them to do things, speech and action that they may regret later, that will not be praiseworthy. The Shaykh says, وَمَا مِنَّا أَحَدٌ لَا يَغْضَبُ. And there's no one from amongst us that doesn't become angry. There's no one from amongst us that doesn't become angry. وَلَكِنَ الْعَاقِلُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ يَتَصَرَّفُ فِي غَضَبِهِ وَلَا يُنَفِّذُهُ. But the person who has intellect and the person who has iman, then they behave and they act when they are angry, yani properly. They control their behavior and their action when they are angry, and they don't carry out what that anger is pushing them to do. They don't act upon their anger. وَأَمَّا الْأَحْمَقْ وَالْجَاهِلْ. As far as the stupid, ignorant person, then this person, anger causes them to do things that are not praiseworthy, things that are blameworthy. أَشْيَا مَذْمُومَ. Like killing someone, wounding someone, evil speech, cutting ties of relations. So anger causes the human being to do things that lead to his destruction, unless it is used in a good way, in its proper place and time. And in that case, person will be safe from its harm. So those introductory remarks make us to understand something about anger. And from the most important of what, from amongst the important things that the Shaykh mentions here is that everybody is subject to anger. This is from the nature of the human being. And it is in the nature of the human being for a benefit. It is not just something that has no benefit. But the benefit of it is using it in its proper place. And the harm comes from taking it outside of that. So going to the first point of the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And again, I remind us, yani, of the importance of us taking knowledge from and conveying knowledge from the ulama, from the scholars. Here, a great scholar, one of the great scholars of this day and time, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, al-Badr, hafizahullah, he says, قال الحافظ في الفتح. And he is quoting from a scholar of the past, who is one of the most, yani one of the foremost scholars of hadith from the Muslim Ummah. قال الحافظ في الفتح. And الحافظ بن حاجر الأسكناني says in Fath al-Bari, the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, قال الخطابي. Yani الحافظ is quoting from a scholar before him, الخطابي. Sheikh Abdul Muslim is quoting from الحافظ بن حاجر الأسكناني. الحافظ بن حاجر الأسكناني is quoting from الخطابي, who said, رحمه الله, معنى قوله لا تغضب, the meaning of the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, do not become angry, is اجتنب أسباب الغضب ولا تتعرض لما يجلبه أو يجلبه. What is the meaning of لا تغضب? Avoid the أسباب, the things that cause one to be angry. If a person knows that there are certain things that cause them to become angry, avoid those things. A person has to actively monitor their self and their situation and their behavior and avoid the things that cause anger. And this is one of the meanings of لا تغضب. Yani, avoid those things that cause you to become angry. And another meaning of لا تغضب is when you become angry, to control yourself, to do what you need to do to not allow that anger to cause you to do what would be blameworthy. Al-Khattabi, he says, the meaning of لا تغضب, avoid the causes of anger. And don't put yourself in a position to be subject to those things which bring about anger. Don't put yourself in a position to be subject to those things which bring about anger. Then he says, as far as anger itself, فلا يتأتى النهي عنه لأنه أمر طبيعي لا يزول من جبلتي, يعني جبلته أو جبلتي الجبلتي. That anger is something that it is not practical, it's not realistic, it's not reasonable that there is a prohibition from being anger, because anger is something that is natural and it's not going to be removed from the nature of the human being. So the absolute prohibition of anger is not a prohibition that a person should never be angry, because this is the nature of the human being. But what is intended here is what? Yani, that yani, don't allow your anger to cause you to do or to say that which is not praiseworthy, that you will regret later on. Then he says, when he also said, that is, Al-Khattabi also said, وَقَالَ إِبْنِ التِّينِ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهِ. Here Al-Khattabi is quoting from a scholar other than himself. And he said, جَمَعَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي قَوْلِهِ لَا تَغْضَبْ خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That the Prophet ﷺ has brought together, has combined in this one statement, لَا تَغْضَبْ, the good of this world and the good of the next life. Yani that which will benefit you in this world, in your worldly life, and it will also benefit you in the next life. And that is because al-ghadab, anger, leads to at-taqatur, wa-man al-rifq. Yani it leads the person to cut off relations with people. And it leads the person, yani it prohibits a person from being gentle, which is from the good characteristics of Islam, from the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a Muslim is encouraged with to be gentle, a rifq. Anger leads to a person cutting off relations, and it prevents a person from being gentle. And perhaps sometimes it may also lead that person to harming the one that they are angry with, which will cause yani a defect in their deen. Harming someone yani unjustly, wrongfully, due to anger. The second point the Shaykh makes here, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the people who restrain their anger or their rage and who pardon the people. And this is mentioned in the Quran, in the third surah, 134th ayat, And in the ayat before that, but in that ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions from the characteristics of the people of taqwa and ihsan, he said, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Yani, that from the good characteristics of the believers is that they are those who spend, yani, when things are good, when they are doing well, and yani, in other than that. And they are those who restrain their anger and their rage, and they pardon the people, and Allah loves the people of ihsan. So these are, this is from among the good characteristics of the believers, that is, that a person, when they became angry, that they restrain their self. Yani, that they don't act upon what, yani, that anger is calling them to. He said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيد بِالسُّرَعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدَ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. Yani, the strong person is not the one who wrestles well, who can, yani, bring other people down physically. But rather, the strong person, al-shadeed, is the one who controls himself when he became angry. Yani, the strong person, al-shadeed, the Prophet ﷺ said, is not the person who is physically strong, able to throw people down. Rather, the strong person is the one who, when they are angry, when they are out of control, and when a person is angry, they become out of control. That person can control themselves when they are angry. So the people who act well, who act good, who are kind, who speak nice, when they are not angry, that's easy. But when a person becomes angry, that's the test. Will that person say things or do things that are not good, that are not praiseworthy? When they became angry, that's the person who is able to control himself at that time. The Prophet ﷺ said, that is the person who is strong. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari. It's hadith number 6114. And then the Shaykh says that it is upon the human being, if they became angry, to control their anger, and that they seek refuge in Allah from ash-shaytan ar-rajim. And this is as it's narrated in Bukhari and hadith number 6115. Yani, the previous hadith is 6114, this one 6115. Yani, in this hadith it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed a man to seek refuge in Allah from the rejected shaitan. The Shaykh doesn't mention the wording of the hadith here. And then he goes on to say that a person should also, when they became angry, in addition to seeking refuge in Allah from shaitan, they should sit or they should lie down. And this is as it has been mentioned in the Sunan of Abu Dawud in hadith number 4782 on the authority of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qaal, إِذَا غَضَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلْيَجْلِسْ فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ وَالْغَضَبُ وَفَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَطَّجِعْ. So the Prophet ﷺ said that if any one of you becomes angry and he is standing, then he must sit. So if the anger goes away from him by sitting down, fine. Otherwise, then he should lay down. Then he should lay down. Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad, he says here, وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ رِجَالُهُ رِجَالُ مُسْلِمٌ. And Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, who is a scholar of hadith, he says here, وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ رِجَالُهُ رِجَالُ مُسْلِمٌ. So the reason why I'm emphasizing this point here is because this is a hadith about which there is some difference of opinion concerning its authenticity. But Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he said, هُوَ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ. And the narrators in the chain, in the isnad of this hadith, are narrators who have been used in hadith that are contained in the Sahih of Muslim. Imam Muslim, yani, accepted these narrators as being legitimate narrators. I mention that because this hadith is a very important hadith and an important instruction When the person is angry, if they're standing, they should sit. And if the anger goes away, fine. Otherwise, then they should take it to the next level, and that is to lay down. And some of the scholars have explained this, yani that from the meanings that may be derived from this, is that a person, if they become angry, they need to position themselves such that they are not able to act upon that anger by sitting down. It's less possible that a person who's sitting down is going to act upon their anger than the person who's standing up. And if their anger remains, then they should lay down. And it's unlikely that anybody laying down is going to try to harm somebody from laying down position, unless they are a martial artist or something. So sit down, calm yourself down, and put yourself in a position where it's not likely that you're going to strike out at somebody. And if that doesn't work, then lay down. Here, I just want to mention a couple of other hadith, just quickly, yani for the benefit, that I think yani can come from them. And I say quickly because I don't know yani if how much time we're going to have in the end of the explanation. But from the important hadith is the authentic hadith that is reported by Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, rahimahullah, and Shaykh Al-Albani in Sahih Al-Jami', hadith number 694 mentions it as being authentic, and also in Mishkat Al-Masabi. This hadith is a hadith reported on the authority, this hadith, the hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, is the hadith that the Shaykh just mentioned. First, I want to just make a brief comment concerning the hadith, that there's a difference of opinion about it, and from amongst those scholars who originally, early on, yani the hadith that's reported by Abu Dawud, Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, said that this hadith, he mentioned the isnad of the hadith, and he said that this hadith is sahih. And that is in his checking of Mishkat al-Musabi, hadith number 5114. He said this hadith is sahih, as Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad says here. And then later on, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said that early on I said this hadith is sahih. And now he considered it to be yani da'if. So there is some difference of opinion about this hadith. Another hadith, which I think is of great importance, and it's also mentioned in Sahih al-Jami' by Shaykh al-Albani, and in his book As-Sahih, As-Silsila al-Hadith As-Sahih, hadith number 1375, and Sahih al-Jami' number 693, yani it's the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you becomes angry, then he must remain silent. Then he must remain silent. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in reference to this hadith, he mentioned it and said, this is from the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ in reference to speech, and the previous hadith is from the instructions of the Prophet in reference to actions. And if a person became angry, there's something that they should do in terms of their speech, and there's something that they should do in reference to their actions. In reference to their speech, they should remain silent. And the person who remains silent is going to prevent themselves and protect themselves from saying something that the anger causes them to say, which they will regret later on. Yani this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in Sahih al-Jami' and in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahih. two other hadith I just want to mention quickly, and then I'll skip the rest of them because there's quite a few hadith here. Inshallah, I'll send it to the class if somebody reminds me. From amongst the hadith is the hadith of Abdul ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what can remove me far from the anger of Allah? What can remove me, distance me from the anger of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic? And the Prophet ﷺ said, do not be angry. Yani a person wants to be distanced from Allah's anger, then they should themselves yani avoid anger. And the second hadith, this hadith I said is reported by Imam Ahmad, and it's mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab in Jami' Ulum Al-Hikam, hadith under the hadith number 16. The last hadith I want to mention is on the authority of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not become angry and you will be admitted into paradise. Reported by At-Tabarani, and Shaykh Al-Albani mentions it in Sahih Al-Jami' hadith number 7374. Do not become angry and you will be admitted into paradise. And there are several other hadiths related to anger that are of importance, but for the sake of time, I just wanted to at least mention those. And in addition to the hadith that the Shaykh mentions in his explanation. So these are the first two points of the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad. And the final point is the benefits that are derived from this hadith. Before we do that, I want to go back to the explanation of Shaykh Saleh Fawzan and mention some of his other comments related to this hadith after those comments that we mentioned earlier, introduction to the hadith. Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says, this man, yani who was asking the Prophet ﷺ for advice, he said he was requesting advice that would benefit him. And the Prophet ﷺ advised him with these few words, do not be angry. It was as though the man thought little of this advice. And for that reason, he kept asking the Prophet, advise me. Yani like, advise me with something else. And give me some more. So he repeated his request, advise me, advise me, advise me. The Shaykh says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every time said to him, don't be angry. And he didn't say to him any more than that. لم يزيد على ذلك. So what is the hikmah? What is the reason for this? And how the Prophet advised him with these few words, and even though he asked for more, he didn't give him any more than, don't be angry. Some of the scholars said that perhaps this man was known for his anger. And the Prophet ﷺ answered each person with that which they was in need of. And he didn't advise everybody with one advice. But he, if he knew what a person was in need of, he advised them what they were in need of. And he give the people that which they are in need of. And sometimes we don't know what the people are in need of if we talk too much and don't listen. The Shaykh says, so the Prophet ﷺ singled him out with this advice because he knew about his condition. And this is an advice that's for that man and it's for other than him as well. Because every human being is required to not be angry due to the harmful effects of anger, what they bring about. And there isn't any one of us, the Shaykh said, except that he will find in himself some aspect or some degree of anger sometimes. However, the person who has iman and who has an intellect, then they will be patient and forbearing. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the characteristics of the believers in Surah Ash-Shura, I think it's 42, Surah Ash-Shura is 41 or 42. 42, 37th ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the believers, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And is that when they became angry, they forgive, they pardon, they overlook, they let it pass. And they don't hold on to it, they don't let their anger cause them to do things that are blameworthy, rather they try to pardon and forgive. The Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say they don't become angry. He didn't say they never become angry. He said, but when they become angry, they pardon and forgive. So the human being should forgive and should pardon and should be forbearing and should be patient. This is what is required from the human being. This is what is required from the believer. And it is for this reason, the Shaykh says, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِأَسُرَعَتِ. Yani that the strong person is not the one who can wrestle people down. Yani al-qawi alladhi yasra'u an-nas. That's not the shadeed, is not the one who's strong in wrestling down people. This is not the shadeed. هذا ليس الشديد. الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. But rather the real strong person, in reality, is the one who's able to control himself when he is angry. هذا هو الشديد. This is the one that is شديد. يعني the one who is strong enough to control himself when he is angry. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, وَالنَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يغضب ولكنه لا ينفذ إلا إذا كان الغضب لله عز وجل فكان حليما صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينتقم لنفسه أبدا رغم ما لاقى من الأذى من الناس. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he used to become angry, but he didn't act upon his anger, except if that anger was for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Otherwise, the Prophet was patient, yani pardoning, forbearing. He didn't used to punish people for something that they did to him, even though he met a lot of harm from the people. But if the maharam of Allah, yani the things that Allah has prohibited, have been violated, then the Prophet ﷺ became angry for the sake of Allah, not for himself. وَهَكَذَا الْمُؤْمِنْ يَقْتَدِي بِالرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَغْضَبُ لِنَفْسِهِ. And this is the way that the believer should be. He follows the pattern, the model, the example of the Messenger ﷺ. The believer follows the model and the example of the Messenger ﷺ. He doesn't become angry for himself. Yani, it is not befitting of a believer to become angry for something that someone did to you. Rather, the proper place for anger is anger for the sake of Allah. So the believer, he is forbearing, he is patient, he forgives, and he does good. Yani he treats the person that angered him well. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 40th ayah, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So the person who pardons and who makes reconciliation with the one who wronged them, that person's reward will be upon Allah. Allah would reward that person. So this is the ilaj, yani the cure, the treatment for al-ghadab. First, مَهْمَا أَمْكَنَ أَنَّكَ لَا تَغْضَبْ. Yani, to whatever extent a person is able, they try to not become angry, and to avoid the things that cause anger. And the second thing, إِذَا غَضِبْتَ فَلَا تُنَفِّذْ. But if you did become angry, yani you didn't avoid it, you weren't able to avoid it, you became angry, then don't carry out, don't execute what that anger is calling you to do. Rather, بَلْ عَلَيْكَ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالتَّحَمُّلِ والحلم. يعني but rather a person is required to have patience وتحمل يعني tolerance والحلم forbearance and be patient, be tolerant and pardon and forgive. In terms of before we mention the benefits, just one more point I want to make. Very brief commentary from Shaykh Muhammad, yani the summary of the commentary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Yani his commentary is quite lengthy. This is a summary of his commentary. He says, in reference to this hadith, that this man requested from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to advise him, and he said, don't be angry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam skipped over the wasiyya bit taqwa, yani the advice of advising somebody to have taqwa, which is the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised this ummah with. And it's the advice that he advised the people of the book before us with. The Prophet skipped over that, and he advised this man with a different advice, that is, don't be angry. And that's because he knew from the condition of this man, and Allah knows best, that he used to become angry a lot. For this reason, he advised him with his saying, don't be angry. وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ أَنَّهْيُ عَنَ الْغَضَبُ الَّذِي هُوَ طَبِيعَةٌ مِنْ طَبِيَةِ الْإِنسَانِ. Yani, what is intended here is not the absolute prohibition of anger, which is from the nature, from the natural characteristics of the human being. لَكِنَ الْمُرَادُ أَمْسِكْ نَفْسَكَ عِنْدِ الْغَضَبُ. What is intended here, don't become angry, means if a person did become angry, this is the second side of it. One side of it is what? Is what yani Al-Khutabi mentioned in the beginning, we mentioned, that he said the meaning of don't become angry is what? Avoid the things that cause you to become angry. And here the Shaykh is saying, the other side of it, if a person did become angry, what is intended here is, yani take control of yourself when you become angry, such that you don't allow it to lead you to that which anger requires of a person, or necessitates, or causes a person to do. And that is because anger is like a hot coal that Shaitan throws into the heart of the son of Adam. And you find that this person's eyes may become red, and their veins may be bulging, swelling. And perhaps they will lose their ability to discern what is right and wrong. They become unsensible. They are not sensible anymore. They lose their senses due to this anger. And then Yani the end result of that are things that are going to occur which are not praiseworthy. And perhaps a person would regret greatly on what occurred from them. Yani what they said and what they did. They harmed a person, they wounded a person, they killed a person, they divorced their wife. They did things that after a few moments of anger is over, they definitely regret it. Perhaps a person, yani, would do that which they would greatly regret, yani, afterwards. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ advised this man with this advice, and it is an advice that's for that man, and it's for anyone else whose condition is like him. Okay, as far as the benefits of this hadith, the Shaykh mentioned three, and I'm going to add one more from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Shaykh says, مِمَّا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, from the things that we benefit from this hadith is, number one, حِرْصُ الصَّحَابَةِ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ لِطَلَبِ هَذَا الصَّحَابِ الْوَصِيَّةِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Yani the hirs of the companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhum ajma'in, yani their diligence and their eagerness in seeking that which is good is indicated by this one particular companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this case, yani requesting advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see in lots of hadith where the companions used to come radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for advice and asking for guidance, yani because of their great sincere desire to do that which is good. The second point, he says, from this hadith we also see, yani the first point, the diligence or the eagerness of the companions in seeking good is an example for us. It's an example for us because the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a community are an example for us as a community, and they were generally, yani, having this quality or this characteristic of being desirous, being diligent, being eager to seek that which was good. And this is how we should be. The second point, he said, تحذير من أسباب الغضب والآثار المترتبة عليه. Yani warning against the causes, the things that lead to anger, and also warning against the effects that are the consequence of it. الآثار المترتبة عليه. Yani warning against the things that lead to anger, and also warning against the consequences of anger. Yani warning against the things that lead to anger so that a person does not become angry. And also warning a person against, yani, what is going to be the end result if you allow yourself to become angry. Yani a person will end up in jail, in prison, or being, yani, executed for killing somebody else, just in a state of anger. And the last point the Shaykh mentions is, تَكْرَارَ الْوَصِيَّةِ بِالنَّحِي عَنِ الْغَضَبِ دَالٌ عَلَى أَهَمِّيَةِ تِلْقَ الْوَصِيَّةِ. Yani the repetition of the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani prohibiting this man from being angry or advising him not to be angry, the repetition of that advice, repeating it again and again and again every time the man asks for advice, is, it points to or indicates the importance of this advice. It indicates the importance of it, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to advise him with this one advice: don't be angry. And many of us are in need of this advice, maybe more than, yani, other things, because, yani, we're in a violent, yani, aggressive, you know, out of control society, and people are generally the products of their environment. The last point that we want to mention is the point that's mentioned by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He said from this hadith, we get another benefit, and that is, that it is, أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُفْتِي وَالْمُعَلِّمِ أَنْ يُرَاعِ حَالَ الْمُسْتَفْتِي وَحَالَ الْمُتَعَلِّمِ وَأَنْ يُخَاطِبَهُ بِمَا تَقْضَدِهِ حَالُهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ لَوْ خَاطَبَ غَيْرَهُ فَخَاطَبَهُ بِشَيْءٍ آخَرٍ. Yani that it is incumbent upon the person who is being asked for a legal ruling, for a fatwa. It is incumbent upon the teacher who is teaching people to pay attention to consider, and to give consideration to the condition of the person who is asking for that legal ruling, or the person who is seeking knowledge. And to address that person with that which is required by the condition of that person, to address them according to their need. Even though, if they were speaking to somebody else, they would say something different to that other person, because of that person's need. And so the point is what? That everybody shouldn't be addressed with the same address, shouldn't be advised with the same advice, shouldn't be taught the same things. Yani people should be taught according to their level, and should be given that which they are in need of. Yani we shouldn't, for example, be teaching a person who just entered Islam the laws of inheritance, of mirath, irf. Because that person doesn't know how to pray, doesn't know how to perform ablution. And sometimes, yani we are telling people to read a book about yani the ahkam of something that they have no need of now. Yani, maybe a person is learning about the fast of Ramadan, and Ramadan just finished 2 months ago, and they don't know how to pray. So here the Shaykh is saying what? That consider the condition of the people. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he sent some of his companions to give da'wah to different nations, he told them, he described these people, what kind of people they are, and what they are in need of, and how to give da'wah to them. And the same thing with teaching, the same thing with advising, and so on. So these are yani some of the benefits from this particular hadith, and we're going to stop with this. If there's any question or any correction from what has been said, then we'll take a minute for that, and then we'll stop. Any yeah, na'am, Muhammad.
What is the correct meaning of anger for the sake of Allah, and how can we practice?
Yani, the meaning of what is generally understood by anger for the sake of Allah is that a person is upset, they are troubled, they are disturbed by the fact that somebody has done something displeasing to Allah. Yani in the same way that you became angry, you became disturbed when somebody did something displeasing to you. You became angry, right? Because they did something you didn't like. So if Allah doesn't like something, that's when you should become disturbed. That's anger for the sake of Allah. I'm angry because you have done something that's displeasing to Allah. You have violated the law of Allah. And that is the situation in which a person has more right to be angry than that you said something to me I didn't like. But when they said something Allah didn't like, you didn't have any feeling about that. And you see people violating the law of Allah, it doesn't affect you all. But somebody violates you, now you're ready to destroy the dunya and everybody in it. That's the anger for the sake of Allah, is that a person became disturbed, they became troubled, they became upset, because somebody does that which is displeasing to Allah, and Allah knows best. Remember what I said.
Is it okay? Do we have more leeway to act on that anger than we do on anger for ourselves?
Do we have more leeway? Is it okay for us to act on that anger more so than we have the right to act upon the anger that...
Our own personal anger.
Do you want to clarify it a little bit more, or that's good like
so,
that?
So the idea is, a person hearing that we shouldn't get angry.
Yes.
But that we should be angry for the sake of Allah.
Uh-huh.
May make us believe, and may make us think that because one is justified and the other one might not be, that the actions that result might also be justified.
Okay, good. Well. That's good. So I kind of, and he got an idea that may be what you were saying, but now it became crystal clear. So a person... If we know that it is praiseworthy that a person be angry for the sake of Allah, and it's not praiseworthy that a person become angry for their own self because of something that has been done to them, does this mean then that if a person became angry for the sake of Allah, that whatever they do as a result of that anger is also okay? No. And becoming angry for the sake of Allah is good, that a person is troubled, that their heart is moved by somebody violating the law of Allah. That doesn't then mean that now I can do whatever that anger leads me to, and that's okay too. No, but the action, the response of a person who became angry for the sake of Allah has to be within the bounds of the law of Allah. Okay, so this question is critical, yani, that we don't leave somebody to think that if the anger for the sake of Allah is good, then also, whatever they do when they get angry for the sake of Allah is also good. Not necessarily so. Because a person might do something out of their anger for the sake of Allah that is not pleasing to Allah. That what they're doing is not pleasing to Allah. Or they may do something that they don't have a right to do. They don't have the authority to do. Yani a person sees somebody murder somebody, so they murder them. You don't have a right to take the law into your own hands. Even though that person who murdered somebody, by the law of Allah, al-qisas, they should be murdered. But that's not the right of every person walking through the streets. So the action of the person who became angry for the sake of Allah has to be subject to and restricted to what Allah has legislated and what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, your name. Remind me your name.
Usama.
Usama. La Allah. La ilaha illallah. Usama, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. My memory is done. I haven't seen this brother in some years.
Sheikh, my question is there anything related to anger and drinking water make wudu in the sunnah?
Is there anything related to anger and drinking water and making wudu?
Or making wudu.
Yeah, making wudu. So, instead of me, just like, let me try to look at my notes here. So inshallah I'll send this hadith to the class as well. The hadith that perhaps you're referring to is the hadith on the authority of Atiyah ibn Urwa As-Sa'di radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily anger, ghadab, is from shaitan. And shaitan is created from fire. And verily the only thing which extinguishes fire is water. So if or when one of you becomes angry, then he must perform wudu. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood. So this is a common hadith that's generally mentioned, and there's also a difference of opinion about it. I don't want to mention this hadith because I didn't feel so comfortable in accepting the view of those who might consider it to be acceptable. Whereas the previous hadith, about sitting and laying down, contemporary scholars, who are known for their knowledge in the Sunnah and in Hadith, considered it to be acceptable. But as for this Hadith, there doesn't appear to be any reason to accept it as being legitimate. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah says that the chain of narrators is weak, and he mentions this in a note to Hadith number 5113 in Mishkat al-Musabi, with the checking of Shaykh of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani rahimahullah. Hadith number 5113, footnote number 4. And of course this is in Arabic, right? It's in Arabic. I don't think that his checking of Mishkat is translated. But in Mishkat al-Musabi, Hadith number 5113, note number 4, Shaykh al-Albani discusses this Hadith, and he said that this Hadith is weak. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Faymin also commented on this hadith in one place. I don't remember the specific area now, the specific place where we read it, but I have read it in the past, where he mentioned that this hadith is a disputed hadith, and he said, even if the hadith is weak, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Faymin said, even if the hadith is weak, there's still a benefit if a person became angry in making wudu. And the benefit of that, the clear benefit, is that a person will be distracted from their anger by going to some place where they have to find water, bringing some water, or in this time going to the bathroom or the kitchen or some place where there's some running water, and taking the time to make wudu. Mentioning the name of Allah and washing the parts of the body in wudu, it will give that person a chance, time, and a distraction from their anger that perhaps they may calm down. He even said, cool down. He even said that, and there are other things that a person might do that work, that help a person, that are not necessarily mentioned in the sunnah. Like he said, leaving the place where you are. Person became angry, leave that place. You're at home and you get into a dispute with your family, go outside and get some cool air and go for a walk. And after a few minutes, if a person has been trying to, and he practiced Islam, trying to learn the sunnah and take on the qualities of the people of Iman, then that anger that comes from shaitan is not going to last long. So, do something. The most important thing that a person can do is seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. That's the most important thing a person can do. And from amongst the important things that are clearly from the sunnah, undisputed, is that a person should stop talking. And if you have any dispute with somebody and you don't talk, then they're just talking to themselves. And from the things that many of the scholars have mentioned from the sunnah as well is sitting down or laying down. And Shaykh, as I said, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Faymin said, And even if it's not authentic hadith, making wudu. Yani taking the time to distract yourself from that anger, or even leaving the place where you are. And other than that, from the things that you might know that calm you down. And Allah knows best. Now, we're going to stop here with this. Does it look like the security is getting ready to say 10 minutes, the masjid is closing?
No.
Oh, because normally when you stand up in the back like that, you usually say, masjid is closed in 10 minutes.
No, no, you have guests, so enjoy
yourself. Jazakallahu khair. Fadl ya akhi. And inshallah, we're going to take this last question, and then we're going to sit yani, for a few minutes, inshallah, have something to drink and something to eat, inshallah. Some small snacks, inshallah. Fadl.
Pleased to see you again after a long time.
And we're pleased to see you. Barakallahu fikum, mashallah. May Allah bless you for every effort that you made and the time that you spent and the money that you spent to come here. Now, barakallahu fikum. Wa jazakallahu khair. Do you have a question?